We're joined now in studio by Chancellor Emeritus Jim Morton of Louisiana State University. He was the chancellor at the Old War School from 1981 to 1988 and a professor for how many years?
50.
50 years. You're still teaching, aren't you?
No, I've retired, fully retired.
Okay. Well, a long time, 50 years, so I know you're not that old, so...
I'm 80.
But Chancellor Wharton was a renowned chemistry professor in addition to his work as the leader of the university. And through the years, he was involved intricately in the formation of the TOPS program with Pat Taylor, who was the founder. And last year, as we know, TOPS was tweaked. And as a result, students this semester didn't get the full ride that they have been. And now the legislature is reviewing this, and last week the Louisiana House of Representatives, in its wisdom, decided to fully fund TOPS. It's a long way to go. Senate has to concur, and then the governor has to be in accord as well. But right now, it's a move that some are heralding, and others are saying, look, this is a budget buster that needs to be addressed. What's your take?
Well, if we go back just a short time period, the legislature and the governor took $700 million out of higher education. And when they took that money out, the universities had no choice except to really raise tuition dramatically. For example, tuition at LSU this past year has been tuition and fees has been $10,800, of which TOPS paid about $8,000 in the $2,000 in fees the students had to pay. And so it's really a bite. And in Louisiana, where the families don't make that much money, $10,800 a year just for tuition, that doesn't include room and board and other expenses, it's really tough. And the days when Pat Taylor came to LSU for $70 a year, and a bunch of our current senators attended when it was $110 a year and $160 a year. And in fact, the year I became chancellor, it was $800 a year. So you can see that LSU has been an inexpensive institution as far as tuition is concerned. And TOPS, most people won't recognize this, but if you run a correlation of the economy of a state versus the educational attainment of the citizens of that state, you'll find a linear correlation, and especially if you go back and take out the states that have natural resources, like Louisiana has oil. When oil is $100 a barrel, our economy is ranks right in the top 10. When oil is $40 a barrel, our economy's down where our education is at 47th, 48th. So our legislature doesn't seem to understand that states like Massachusetts have a real strong economy that's dependable year after year because of the educational attainment of their population. And in Louisiana, we have, in particular, a debt to pay because our black citizens have not caught up yet. The education that they're afforded just isn't up to par. You know, it's interesting to me, I hunted for a professor to fill the Phil West chair at LSU and found Isaiah Warner at Emory. And Isaiah was picked as the number one faculty in all the SEC schools this past year. And that's just an indication of how important it is.
877-217-5757. Of course, it doesn't affect just LSU, but all institutions of higher learning in Louisiana. Chancellor Wharton, in an op-ed piece to the Advocate a few weeks ago, wrote that in Massachusetts, 39% of the population has a bachelor's degree and 16.4% an advanced degree. In Louisiana, the numbers are 21.4% and 6.9%. Louisiana ranks 46th in bachelor's degrees, 47th in advanced degrees. But TOPS has been around for a while, and some would say that maybe the results should be a little better than this. It's low, but are you saying it's going to get worse without TOPS?
Oh, yes, because the other states are moving up. Now, there's a move afoot across the nation to go into more training as opposed to a bachelor's type education. But still, that leads to employment and good pay. And Louisiana just really lags on the education front. There's no question about it. And TOPS is an incentive for young people to take a rigorous high school curriculum and to make good grades and to achieve high scores on the American College Test and show up at the universities prepared for study. And that's a big boost to what it was. When I became chancellor, LSU had no admission requirements, and we had a 30% graduation rate. And I just got the National Student Clearinghouse to do a study of LSU based on 2008, I believe it was, and 83% got a bachelor's degree somewhere in the United States. So it's been a real transformation.
Well, right now
we're catching up slowly.
The threshold to be eligible for TOPS is something that people look at and say we could raise it and maybe get a better bang for our buck.
Yeah,
but what about, is it 20 for the ACT? Is that right?
That's right, 20. Let me tell you where that 20 came from. Mr. Taylor said, I want to make more right decisions than wrong decisions. And so we were looking for the 50% graduation rate. And the computers at LSU ran and ran and ran looking at the correlation between high school grades and test scores and success in the university. And those parameters, the 2.5 GPA, and you have to understand that that's not the high school GPA. That's in the core. That's in the TOPS core.
Right.
It involves four science courses, four math courses, and so forth. And that's a much more difficult. You can't use PE to get a good grade point average. The grade point average, now the ACT score at 20, you would think that that wouldn't be high enough, but across all institutions in Louisiana, it is. And the Regents just ran a couple of years ago to see if it was still 50% of the kids with that minimum score were graduating, and the answer is yes, they are. They're graduating at 50% rate. 50% is pretty high compared to what it was when I first came to LSU.
Well, it's had a positive effect, and if you look around the campus, there are a lot of these nice apartment houses that have blossomed. I guess the students are using some of the money they would have spent for tuition for rent, and it's been a boon for the real estate industry. What happens if TOPS goes away in that respect?
Well, enrollment will go down. There is a cause and effect of, associated with tuition. Supply and demand, and while some people don't believe it, it exists. And if TOPS goes away, institutions like LSU are going to be really worried about students. Other people don't realize what the high tuition does. It's just about destroyed graduate education at LSU. Now, TOPS is a four-year program, and it takes the kids, a lot of the kids, 6 years to graduate, and they only get TOPS for 4 years. And so on 2 years, they're out working and doing everything they can to earn the money to go to school. It's much more complex than our legislature has ever really taken into consideration.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Good morning, Phil. You're on Talk.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, gentlemen. I think in my experience that, and also with people that I meet and deal with out in the world, is those that have a liberal education or liberal arts education, and I know that's a curse word now to attach liberal to anything, but it seems that the, and studies in other countries as well, mind how beneficial that is. And the other thing, sir, is it seems to me that maybe the legislature is only interested in studies that prove that you don't need to spend any money on education. So pretty ridiculous. But anyway, thank you, sir.
Jim?
The legislature doesn't get into how much should be spent on engineering or science as related to history and those. In 81, LSU was really well-funded. That's the year I became chancellor. But in 83, Treen began to really back out money.
Governor Treen.
Governor Treen, yeah. Began to back out money from education. And we had to make some real tough decisions. And one of those decisions was to look at LSU's reputation worldwide. And we picked out, I think it was 14 departments that established the reputation of LSU around the world. And we did everything we could to hold on to those departments that established the reputation. And some of those departments, like English, where we had Robert Penn Warren and Kenneth Brooks on the faculty in the 30s and 40s, we did everything we could to revitalize that reputation. The humanities are critically important, and the social sciences are also very important in a university.
Well, as we switch gears, and if you're so inclined to ask a question about Tops, don't refrain, but I do want to ask Chancellor Warden about the guest columnist James Carville of The Advocate, who wrote an op-ed piece a few days ago. It's time for Sherman's return to LSU. James Carville, one of the most famous graduates of the university, says James Lee McDonough has written a fascinating new biography of General Sherman, the Union general who famously burned Atlanta to the ground and who less famously served as LSU's first president during the antebellum years when it was called Louisiana State Seminary of Learning and Military Academy. Carville believes an appropriate honor for General Sherman would be to name the parade grounds, the hallowed parade grounds, in honor of William Tecumseh Sherman. You're frowning, Chancellor. Why is that?
Well, the last thing it should be named for Sherman is the parade ground. That's sacred land out there. That's where our memorial is to all the cadets that fought in the various wars, to include the most recent wars. And most people don't realize that LSU, the people that were on campus in the 40s, said the line of young men joining the Army in 41 stretched all the way from Huey Long Fieldhouse all the way down past the plant facilities. I have real problems with naming something for Sherman. Maybe it would be all right to name the military science building for him. I don't know about that. But Sherman believed in total war. And by that I mean that he took away the ability of the population to do anything in the way of provide resistance. He killed farm animals. He burned crops. He burned houses and shelter. And most people don't know that when he got to the sea in Georgia, he turned north and went up into South Carolina and really worked South Carolina over. That's not written about very much. But my first introduction to Sherman was my grandmother. She was born in 1858, and she died in the late 40s. And as a small child, I sat at the foot of her rocking chair, and she told stories about the Indians. And she thought very highly of the Indians. And Sherman's orders to Custer were to get rid of all the hostiles. And when I say get rid of them, they got rid of them. If someone wants to read about that, they can go on Google and find the Southern Cheyenne Massacre. And they'll find plenty of writing about that. And they would attack the Indians at daybreak on a cold winter morning when snow was on the ground and kill men, women, children, everybody they could, babies. The ones that were able to get out of the camp starved or were frozen. So it was a very tough thing that they did.
James Carville, who is going down a road others have tried unsuccessfully, including former State Senator Robert Barham, who wanted to name a building after Sherman, and it didn't work. But Carville writes, Sherman was beloved and respected during those early days of LSU. He was responsible for recruiting the school's first professors, procuring its first uniforms, which he made sure weren't too stuffy in the swamp heat A northerner, Sherman stayed behind for weeks after Louisiana seceded to make sure the school's finances were in order. Carville believes he was quite a guy.
Well, let me answer to that. Carville writes that, but he should have talked to Paul Hoffman, our eminent history professor, who was just honored by Spain, by the way. He received a very significant honor for his writings. Paul could tell him and show him that Sherman had very little to do with the getting LSU off the ground. A gentleman in the Alexandria area by the name of Graham actually assembled the first faculty to LSU. And there's some other misrepresentations there that need to be looked at. As I said, Sherman believed in total war. In today's climate, he would be tried for war crimes. No question about that.
Carville also says he's the father of modern warfare.
That's not true. I don't know whether James and I used to debate it at Van Gelder's home before James became so famous, but we got in many arguments at Dr. Van Gelder's house. And I judged him to be quick on the draw, so to speak, and I think he, in writing that article, he started writing before he had all the facts right.
Well, he's a provocateur, but he has a point of view, and certainly with his backstory, I think some people will look at it a bit more closely than they would have otherwise, for good reason, and we'll see where it goes. But I suspect you and James Carville would be on the same page regarding Tops. A listener asks about the number of students at LSU are from in-state. It's over 80%, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it's well over
80%. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's important that LSU is a big economic engine for the state. Most people don't realize how much it is, more so than most of the institutions. And it has to serve the residents. And all the students that attend LSU who are residents have a Tops award. They're good students. I mean, it's night and day difference in the student body mm-hmm. between when I started teaching and today. And LSU is a very rigorous university. I mean, there are programs out there that the kids really have to study hard to pass. So I think it's a good thing that they're mostly residents, and I don't think the university should be out giving non-residents mm-hmm. a pass unless they're really exceptional students. And in Louisiana, there's a tendency. Alabama's the worst. I just finished a big consulting contract for South Carolina, and I learn about all these other states when I do one of those studies. And Alabama's the worst in terms of letting people that live near the border and so forth enter as residents. The taxpayer money should go mostly mm-hmm. for the residents.
Now, you knew Pat Taylor well, who claimed LSU was the catalyst for his success, and at one time he was the only billionaire in the state. He died with Tops in full bloom, and I would imagine he would be quite dismayed about the current turn of events. Are you doing this for him partly?
Yeah, Pat. LSU would have never had admission requirements without Pat Taylor. His first board meeting at LSU, Governor McKithen was on the board, and McKithen came after me with all barrels firing and yelling and screaming. If I'd had to take chemistry, I couldn't have come to LSU. And Mr. Taylor took him on, and that board meeting lasted into the night with the debate between those two. And we barely got the vote to put in the admission requirements, which, in my opinion, changed LSU. Our enrollment dropped from 32,000 down to 26, and that really bothered Mr. Taylor, and that's why Tops was invented by him. Now, in his mind, it was critical because he came to LSU with $35 in his pocket, that the poor kids should be given a chance for a college education. And so in his mind, Tops was for the poor kids, and we had a $25,000 cap on family income in '87, And by 97, it had increased to $35. And when we went to the meeting with the senators, Mr. Taylor was wanting to settle for a $65,000 cap. Now, that would be probably $125,000 today if you inflated it at 4 or 5%. But he had a focus on help the kids that wouldn't get a college education unless there was some help.
Well, Chancellor Wharton, it's always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll have occasion to talk again soon.